Sometimes I get caught in a stream of the Word of God. Those that have been here know that sometimes I get caught in a subject and I'll go 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or at least 5 times in a row that I get up. It seems like he just gets me caught on something and there's so much to cover. To be honest, the idea, if you think back, in the last month I've been covering this concept of Yahweh is trying to complete our love, make perfect our love. We are known by our love. And that known is a heavy responsibility because the knowing is the reality. They don't know Yahweh without physical arms. They don't know the love of Yahweh without feet, the go-to people. People don't know the love of Yahweh if words don't come to their door in expressions of love and concern. And so we're talking about this idea how Yahweh is trying to perfect us, make us complete, and it is a journey for our whole life. And I began with the first part of the commandments, you shall love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. But you can't stop there. It leads to this. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I will tell you, I have two teachings. Today's and a whole nother one just from this topic. And its significance to us. And they completely tie in. To be honest, we could be here 3 or 4 hours today if I were to do both. Just both. No doubt Yahweh has infinite amount of teachings from this one phrase. When he said it, he meant it. It wasn't by accident. And we can sit back and we can go, and we can get caught. We're going to see one of the problems that Yeshua deals with. We are blessed of all times that we actually have, to some degree, 2 Torahs. We have a Torah that we get to read. But then, we have a Torah that we can go and watch. That's Messiah. If I were to put a Bible down, and I can imagine the computer animation, put a Bible down, and the pages started to unfurl and form into a human body and turned into flesh, that's the reality of what we see in Yeshua. And here's one of the blessings. If we were to disciple our life after Abraham, we would still be a sinner. He is imperfect. If we discipled our life after Moses, he is still a sinner. But there is one who we can model our life after that there is no flaw. There is no mistake. And this teaching, he spent chapters, specifically at the beginning of his ministry. So if he spent that much time, it must be important. And it also means that there must be a misinterpretation. Now, again, this is what I went back to, and this goes back to the teaching we got to, which is Matthew 22, 37 to 40. He was asked, what's the greatest? Now, what he meant by that is, this is someone who's asking, just tell me what I have to do. Like, where's the line? If I cross the line, this minimal amount of stuff, I know I'm in the kingdom. And he says, love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind or strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And the law, the Torah, and the prophets hang on these two commands. You can't fulfill any of them. And not these two. Cannot. It is impossible. And we'll get to this. This has huge ramifications, including the point of judgment, by the way. all of the Torah, all of the prophets hang on these two commands. They are the two roots that go deepest in the ground. All of the actual nutrients that the tree of life has comes from these two. But there's a problem. That problem Messiah begins to focus on around Matthew 5. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 5, we're going to go to verse 43. Now, to be honest, most of chapter 5, to be honest, is a teaching about how to love your neighbor. And we'll get to the other part of it next time. But I want to focus on the problem at hand first. I'm going to start with verse 43. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, which means his mercies come new to every single person every morning. He sends rain, and rain quite often in Scripture is his word or his mercy or his truth, on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? For even tax collectors do the same. Now, by the way, at this point, tax collectors were seen as usually the enemy. Because some of them were fellow Israelites that had taken on that responsibility, and they were going through and collecting taxes, however hard they were, from all the families that were their brothers. So he's interesting enough as he throws in who they think is their enemy. They do the same. So how great are you? For what you do more than others, do not even the tax collectors do so. Therefore you shall be perfect, complete, just as your Father in heaven is complete. Now intriguing here is he points out that our whole goal is to be like our Father. Right? Now, some points here. Number one, you have heard it said. This means that someone's taught this. This does not mean it's in Scripture. Quite often, if it's in Scripture, you'll see you have read. Now, you couldn't take this to be, well, you've heard, because back then, a lot of Scripture was passed on by word of mouth. That was hard because you didn't have a Scripture to go back to always at home to double check. So you almost had to test Yahweh with prayer upon prayer because you were getting words all the time, orally. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Again, you're not going to find this in Scripture other than here. Yahweh has never taught love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but man has. And we're going to get to it, and hopefully, I pray, open our eyes to the reality of Jonah today. Because what we're talking about today, the problem is the spirit of Jonah, which is very hard to get over. We're meant, and he does a lot of different specifics, but in the end, we're meant to bless those who curse you. Now, somebody sit back, but I thought, bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. No, that's Yahweh. That's not us. We don't take that on. We are to bless those who curse. Because you have the truth. You know what's right. They do not. It'd be like finding an animal who's hurt or a baby that's hurt. What's going to happen? Your first reflex is defense. To defend oneself. You may actually be there to help rehabilitate, to help them get back and restore them. But they don't know that. The whole goal is to become children of your Father. This point of becoming perfect in our love is to become children of our Father, which means if it's not perfected, we are not His children. We have another Father. And Yeshua makes this point by your actions. Do you show the world who's your Father? In today's word, we show who our Daddy is. Love those who love you. And he makes a point, only brethren. Now, this is significant. This sheds light to the problem that has arisen. Now, the point here would be like, everybody that's nice to me, I'm nice to them. But if they're not nice to me, I don't have to be nice to them. Well, you just realize Yahweh, He gave rain to just the righteous people? No, He gives rain to all people. He gives the sunshine to all people. He gives mercy to all people. For God so loved His righteous people, no, for God so loved the world, they sent the thing He cherished most, His Word, to save us. His Word, that which was in heaven with Him. Be perfect, complete, like our Father. And He is complete in all He does, in His love. To see each other through His eyes. Now, I will make a point. Some will say, this will be next times, but I need to make this point now. Well, my Father never loved me. I don't define love. We'll get to this next time, but I do need to share. Everybody in here knows how they want to be treated. You have a list in your mind. And when people don't treat you that way, you get upset. You've defined love. You have already, naturally, innately, inside of yourself, defined how you would want to be loved. So go and love that way. You don't need an example. You already have a list in your mind. You already have that list. Now, here's the issue. Neighbor versus enemy. Who was the enemy Yeshua was trying to get at? And there's really two issues. Not only the tax collector, but there's a different group that become the enemy. Yeshua has to destroy this teaching if He is going to build and rebuild Torah as it was meant to be. To understand what this means, to love our neighbor. Listen to these verses. They emphasize who at this point the enemy is. We're going to start with Acts chapter 10, verse 28. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law, for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile." Against their law. To visit with or associate with. But God has shown me that I should call not anyone unholy or impure, nor not clean. There is a command, there is a teaching that says all Gentiles, and by the way, let me clarify real quick, and I've said this in the past, Gentile, goyim, from the Jewish perspective, is a negative sense to it. A ger would be someone you consider like, well, he's from our nation, but he's a part of us. And so the feeling of ger would be like, ooh, he's sort of part of our family. He wasn't born here, but we let him. Goy is usually the word you talk about in a negative way about someone. Yeah, that goy over there. That Gentile. Okay? There was a negative sense that had been built. And they considered it, by the way, a law, a Torah, a commandment. To not associate or to visit with. Acts 10, 44 through 45. Let's see if there's more proof about this. It says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came unto all who heard this message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were what? They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured even on the Gentiles? The Gentiles? Even on them. The most sacred and beautiful treasure, the Spirit of God, was given to them. What was Yahweh thinking? They were astonished. Galatians 2:11 through 13. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For certain men came from James. He used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Even Barnabas was led astray. He's eating, having a good time with them, enjoying talking about the word, Torah, how wonderful it is. Some of James' men come in. I can't associate with them anymore. It's interesting, seeing as though Yeshua said, go forth into all the nations. Nations is another word for all the Gentiles. So it's like, well, how do you put those two together? Remember, the Spirit was here to remind us of the words, and Peter's being reminded. By the way, Yeshua called him Peter, son of Jonah. You're going to see why. We've seen a little bit, but you'll get connected to Jonah. Consider Jonah. Yahweh tells Jonah, go to these Gentiles and tell them that I'm coming to judge them. Carry this message. And Jonah, of course, goes, sure, I'm going. No, he doesn't want to associate either. This man of God goes running away. He doesn't want to declare the message. Has to go through his own donkey event, though this case swallowed by a large fish. Vomited out. Go back and check that word out through Scripture. To be vomited out of anything was not a holy event. To be spewed out of the mouth. But from that, he goes. They hear the word of Yahweh. They are so hungry, they repent. And so now they need what? Teaching. Discipleship. But something still in Jonah is so hurt and so angry and hatred had built in him, he would not, could not enter in the city. He was still praying that God just completely destroy them. So why? Why this hatred? Why, when he could follow Yahweh's word all these times, can he not now? Let's start with this. By your own opinions, can someone define what a neighbor is? Someone close to me. Okay, someone close by. That could be anyone, right? Person you see often. May not even be a person you live next to, because today we go off to work other places. Everyone we meet. Now, in Hebrew, the word is rea. And it's a base idea. It's a friend, a companion, a fellow, another person. You guys were all right. It also can mean a brother, by the way. So a neighbor can be a relative or someone that's not related to you. Okay? But remember, the Hebrews, the Israelites have struggled with this word to understand it through the ages. And there's a reason why. Where does the confusion come from? Let's start with Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 says this: you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall utterly rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. Now, some of your translations make a point that your brother and your neighbor are the same. The way you read them, so you shall not hate your brother, but you shall rebuke him. You shall not take vengeance on your people, and you shall love your neighbor yourself. The neighbor is actually your people. Instead of seeing it, if you have a brother in the faith who actually knows the truth, you should not hate him in your heart. But you shall rebuke your neighbor. So anyone who is going the wrong way, and it's not for us to go, but to come into their life, go, you know what? You realize that what you're doing is actually causing the problems in your life. Do you realize that? You can stop these problems. Okay? And then he goes on, you should not have vengeance or grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor. So this neighbor goes to neighbor here, and then your people goes to brother. Now, it goes further and far deeper. When they heard, and for those out there in audio land, I have a picture up here of the tabernacle set up by camp. When they heard, love your neighbor as yourself, who did they live by? Their brothers. So when they were going through the wilderness, who did they have to learn to love? Just Israel. Somewhat. Because some of you should already start to think in your mind, wasn't there a mixed multitude among them? Yes. But that gets quickly forgotten. In fact, many rabbis have taught, oh, they're the ones that caused them the sin. Yahweh destroyed them. They're already gone. Except for the promise on Ephraim, you should be the father of many. Right, and in Abraham, you should be the father of many nations. How does that? Many Gentiles. Well, if that didn't cement the idea, then they went in the land. Again, now I have a picture or a map of how they were divvied up in the land. Who was their neighbor? It was all their family. And let's say we got outside of Israel. Esau to the south, Moab and Ammon, this is Lot, they're kind of related. Now, we get to Aram, and up here, you're getting into, and by the way, Egypt down here, right? You have a number of Abraham's sons. Abraham and Noah's sons living down here. Family. Can you really, at this point, not be surprised that they were thought love your neighbor yourself meant love your fellow Israelites? Can that be easy to have believed? Well, it gets better. Well, not better. Why are Gentiles considered the enemy? Deuteronomy 28:36. By the way, these are the curses. So when you don't obey the word of Yahweh, this is what Yahweh is going to do. Now, I've underlined Yahweh and what he does, and I have put in red the word nation, which could also be translated as Gentile or nations. Yahweh will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all the nations where Yahweh will drive you. So when you take the Torah, he's going to bring a nation and then drive you out to put you in another nation, to another group of Gentiles. So you realize already, guess what? So you're having a wonderful day in Jerusalem. Someone blows a shofar, a nation is on the outside, have all of their weapons. You've already heard from prophets this was coming, but you didn't believe them. Your father is killed. Your children are killed. By who? Gentiles. They carry you off to a far-off country. Deuteronomy 28:43. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall become down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Do you know what's going to be created here? Jealousy. How come the Gentile keeps just everything he does? I see him doing things wrong, but he continues climbing up and getting more and more privilege and power and strength and everything going right for him. How come? There's a huge amount of jealousy. This is, again, a curse sent by who? Yahweh. Deuteronomy 28:48. Therefore you shall serve your, and I love this, not my enemies, your enemies, whom Yahweh will send against you. Who sent them? In hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything, he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. And how is he going to destroy you? These are not going to be pictures I want to put up on the screen here about what images they may have seen when this stuff happened. They'd be images that would scar our minds forever. Deuteronomy 28:49-50. Yahweh will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle flies, a nation whose language you do not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young. Yahweh's going to bring them. They're going to be extremely powerful. Well, of course they are. They have Yahweh. 51-53 and 64-65, this is what's going to happen. They will eat your increase. Meaning, you ever do something and you do work, you finish it, but someone else took credit for it? You planted the ground, they're going to eat the crops. Not you. Do you think there could be some level of hatred towards them? They shall besiege your gates, and I love this one, and your high walls that you trust in. The things that you trust are going to protect you. And by the way, these are not Yahweh. Remember, it's interesting. They just passed the walls they were afraid of when the nations were in them. We can't go in there. They have high walls. Became their idols. The things that you trust in, Yahweh's going to destroy, but he's going to destroy using a people or a person. You shall eat the fruit of your body out of distress of the enemy. I have tried to make this as not as gory as the scripture, but it is gory. Out of distress. Do you imagine how much distress is going through? Nations doing it. These are people who know, but they're so distressed at this point. Yahweh will scatter you among the nations. And again, could you be afraid? You don't. Imagine going to a place where they don't speak a language you know. You're all by yourself. Can't communicate with anyone. It's almost like being in prison. Among those nations, you will find no rest. You're going to be anxious, you're going to be nervous, you're probably going to be scared. Jeremiah 25:8. I wanted to bring up a verse from the Tanakh that proves out that Yahweh did it. I could have picked many. I chose this one for how poignant it was. Therefore, thus Yahweh of hosts, because you have not heard my words, you have not shemad, heard to do, behold, I will send and take all of the families of the north, says Yahweh. This is 25:9. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my what? This is Yahweh calling Nebuchadnezzar my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against those nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them as an astonishment, a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Basically, it's all the bad stuff. But to call Nebuchadnezzar Yahweh's servant, when usually that title is only given to Messiah or to his prophets. But to be called servant means you have to do the bidding of the master. So what's the problem? For Jonah, for them, and for us. The first one is our focus. We see the enemy coming. Bad things happen by people at our work, families around us. You could be driving along and someone decide to flick you off. Right? Someone's honking the horn because you're not going fast enough. Physically, our eyes get focused on the reality, but we have to always look is Yahweh's perfecting your love. That doesn't come easy. All right? This is not going to be the easy part. He's bringing people in your path. It's not easy to love. And the hard part here is in the end, it's really a reflection of ourselves. Yahweh's trying to show us how it's hard to love us, the way we treat and act towards others. What's interesting is that Yahweh in Deuteronomy 32:29, when we try and attribute to anyone else, anything that happens, we miss out. I kill, I make alive. I wound, I heal. None can deliver from my hand. None. We become jealous and we harbor hatred. Just like Cain. Just like Cain. Same thing. It's a natural reaction, sort of a knee-jerk reaction. Right? Someone does something to us and the first thing we want to do is, how can we get them back? Or, you know what? The most righteous thing is to ignore them. I'm here to say that's wrong. The thing we're called to is to actually love them, which actually means get back involved in their life. Which, by the way, might mean humbling ourselves when we may have not hurt them or meant to hurt them. And inside you're going, why am I even saying sorry? Because you love them. Because you see in their eyes hurt and pain. They may have focused it on you, but away from it, they have to live with it. Blame. We blame Yahweh's servants, whether they are the nations, his prophets, his Messiah. But we never blame Yahweh. And I think there's a part of us, a religious part of us, that's afraid of confronting Yahweh with bad things that have happened in our life. Because we're afraid in a religious sense that we can't really go yelling at Yahweh, or we can't get in his face, we can't really do that. An honest relationship, distance is always unspoken words. You are closed up and you're never going to heal from that. That's always going to be there. I would not be surprised that people from Nineveh did something really bad to Jonah's family. And I wouldn't be surprised that Yahweh had it happen. And I wouldn't be surprised that Yahweh wants restoration with Nineveh. But Jonah won't open his heart because it's so scarred. He didn't see it as maybe Yahweh acting. He saw it as Ninevites. We're really good at blame. We ignore our sin as the cause and make ourselves comfortable by placing the cause on others. We do this all the time. When something is bad, it's much easier. Well, the first thought is, well, they said or they did or whatever. It's always a they. It's a push away of responsibility. It's a pushing away of the pointed finger. We're good at this. Go back to Adam. You ate of the tree. The woman you placed here. So notice, we think of him blaming the woman, but he's actually blaming Yahweh. The woman you gave it to me. I just ate it. Go to the woman, and she goes, the serpent, first words out of her mouth. What I love is that Yahweh doesn't even question the serpent. Here he knows its intentions. Doesn't question him at all. And we went back to this, Matthew 5:43-48. You've heard it said. Well, where did it get said? It gets said over the years. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. It meant love the people in your family, but those that are outside of your family or those maybe have hurt you, they're your enemy. You don't have to love them. Now, I don't think this is too far off for us today. But today it may be better if Messiah were to say, love your neighbor and ignore your enemy. Is more what we do today. Give them space. What Yahweh's actually saying is the ones that are hating you are the ones who are in most need. He was sent for the sick, not the healthy. And by the way, so are you, and so was I. To bless those who curse. That means to completely turn it around. To become children of your Father, because you know what? When you break a command, it's almost like cursing Him, but He still gives you mercy each morning. Every single morning. Whether you deserve the rain or the sunshine, He still gives it. To be perfect or complete. Some examples to consider. I'm almost done, by the way. How many times did Israel come with stones? How many times did they come up? We've been reading it over and over. You brought us out of Egypt to lead us out here to die. With stones. And then Yahweh goes, oh, well, you know, I'm going to go and kill them. What's the first thing? Quite often, first thing you're done is either laying on their face, doing what? Praying for them. Or Moses going, Aaron, get the censer and go running because you're going to actually be a sign of mercy between the living and the dead. And that incense is intercession, by the way. The prayers, the smoke that goes up before. Those that are living. He's got bruises. He knows at some point soon, some of the Gentiles are going to take nails, and they're going to nail it into his wrists and his feet, and he's going to be just struggling to breathe every breath with every pain that shoots through his body. He has thorns that are digging into his head. You want to talk about a massive headache. And problems. To that, everybody is screaming out things like, well, if you truly are the Son of God, come down. What's the example, he says, that he sets? Father, forgive them if they do not know right from wrong. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know. Romans 5:10. For while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? While you were still Yahweh's enemies, he still loved you as a neighbor. And paid an incredible price by sending his treasured word to die. This last example, I bring up to somewhat lighten the mood. But to be honest, I want you to think about the phrase for a moment. And I want us to think about this phrase as sort of a theme for our lives. Okay? Please, oh please, won't you be my neighbor? He's asking in the song for anyone to be his neighbor for the purpose of loving them. Incredible example. Incredible example. I pray that when we get to phrases like love your neighbor yourself, which we've heard over and over, that it has new meaning to us. That, I don't know about you, but I know for me, it really shows that all my shortcomings, how far I fall short over and over with all my relationships with people. Because I can be honest with you right now and tell you I have a long way to go. And I do more naturally ignore my enemy than love them. Because it's easier on me. But I take this as we can't sit back and pray, I want to get closer, I want to be closer, I want to be more like you, and not go through this. We truly are not sons of Yahweh, daughters of Yahweh, without love. And all that that means, all the ways he expresses it to us, we all have a long way to go. But one of the blessings is we have the Word. We have the Word made flesh who walked among us. We also have each other. Now again, the next time, whenever it opens, I want to go on to the next part of this, because there's more. But just let that today, meditate in your mind. I need to learn to love my neighbor as myself, and who knows who Yahweh is calling to be the next one close to me. Baruch Hashem. Hands with neighbor. Yevarecha Yahweh vayishmerecha. Ki Yahweh tibendiga et tibetecha. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh panavidecha vihunecha. Yahweh agas to roast your spendeser soberti ite or toge subandad. May Yahweh's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Isi Yahweh panavilecha, yasem lecha shalom. Ke Yahweh muestres to roast your soberti ite concedes to pause. May Yahweh's face turn towards you and give you perfect peace. Shabbat Shalom.